fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to January 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in the world of football, where the Pharaohs of Egypt beat the Elephants of Ivory Coast 5-4, courtesy of a penalty shootout to seal a spot in the quarterfinals of the African Cup of Nations in Cameroon following a 0-0 draw. Manchester United defender Eric Bailly's penalty was saved by Zamalek keeper Gabaski in the third round of spot kicks, before the Pharaohs and Liverpool striker Mo Salah scored the decisive penalty to knock out the two-time champions. Ivory Coast knocked out defending champions the Desert Foxes of Algeria to top their group. Egypt, the champions for a record 7 times, finished second in theirs after losing their opening game against the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Egypt faces the Atlas Lions of Morocco in Yaoundé on Sunday. Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Underdogs Equatorial Guinea advanced to the quarterfinals of the African Cup of Nations after a 6-5 victory against Mali on post-match penalty kicks, following a scoreless draw. Shotstopper Jesus Owono was Equatorial Guinea's hero after saving twice during the shootout, before Santiago Eneme scored the decisive penalty in a match played in Limbe, Cameroon. Ranked 114th in the world, the National Thunder have been one of the surprise teams of the tournament. After losing to the Elephants of Ivory Coast, the team ended the 35-match unbeaten run of the Desert Foxes of Algeria before thrashing the Lion Stars of Sierra Leone to finish as runners-up in their group. They will next face the Teranga Lions of Senegal in the quarterfinals. Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Reporter Mike Mbonye spoke to African football analyst Lekan Ige regarding the outcome of the round of 16 games played on Wednesday in the ongoing African Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon, where the Pharaohs of Egypt defeated the Elephants of Ivory Coast, while Equatorial Guinea caused another upset when they beat Mali in post-match penalties. Ige also shared his thoughts regarding the round of 16 pairings.
The Nations Cup has witnessed several upsets so far in this tournament, and the encounter between Egypt and Cote d'Ivoire is no exception. I'm sure a lot of pundits may have given that game to Cote d'Ivoire, judging from the way and manner they've played so far. But they struggled, really, and couldn't find the back of the net against Egypt, and they had to go through the lottery of penalty shootout, and in penalty shootout, it can favor any side. And Egypt, that didn't start too brightly, has now progressed to the quarterfinals of the African Cup of Nations, which is one good thing for them.
Equatorial Guinea continued their good run in the ongoing AFCON by defeating Mali 6-5 on penalties. What's your take on the Equatorial Guinea team?
The encounter between Mali and Equatorial Guinea is another shocking result of the African Cup of Nations. Mali played quite well in the group stages, and I felt they would have had a good run against the Equatorial Guineans, but that was not to be. I think football sometimes can be punishing. Football can sometimes be funny. I'm sure the defeat of Mali by Equatorial Guinea is another upset in this Nations Cup, and it must go down really as the Nations Cup with the most upset in the history of the continental fiesta. Good run for Equatorial Guinea. I'm sure they never bargained to come this far, but here they are in the quarterfinals of the African Cup of Nations, and who knows, they could as well be seeing themselves in the semifinals. They've been compact so far. They've believed in themselves, and that has really helped them to come this far.
Leko, the Atlas Lions of Morocco will clash with the Pharaohs of Egypt in one of the quarterfinal games on Sunday. What's your take on the North African derby?
The clash between Morocco and Egypt will be one of the toughest in this tournament so far. A clash between two brothers who know each other inside out. And it's going to be a battle of pride, really, for the North African brothers. Egypt has won the Nations Cup on several occasions. Morocco will be seeking for a good one in this encounter, and of course, probably look at how they can win the tournament in the long run. But it's going to be a tough one, really. Egypt didn't start too brightly, losing their first match to Nigeria, but they since put their act together, and here they are in the quarterfinals. Morocco will fancy their chances against Egypt and think that this will be one of the moments they will defeat Egypt in the Nations Cup. I expect a very tough one here, really, and it can go to either side. And judging from their play in the tournament so far, this might just go to penalty shootout, and I'm sure in penalty shootout, it can be anybody's game.
In another quarterfinal game, Senegal will meet Equatorial Guinea. Do you think there will be another upset in the game?
That Senegal is still in the African Cup of Nations is a testament, you know, to their industry, to their grit, to their determination to make something out of the current African Cup of Nations. And their counter against Equatorial Guinea will be very tough. Equatorial Guinea on a good day are very difficult to beat. And Senegal, with the traditional West African style of being rugged, of being determined, you know, will clash with the determined side in Equatorial Guinea. So far in the competition, we've seen encounters between teams, you know, go down the wire, go down straight to the penalties. And I would not be surprised, really, if Senegal and Equatorial Guinea travel that route, a penalty shootout route. And it could be anybody's game. It's been a season of surprises in this African Cup of Nations. And Senegal, definitely more illustrious than Equatorial Guinea in the history of this competition. But then the one, this edition taking place in Cameroon has proven to be no respecter of anything in this competition. And so it all depends on what you meet on the field of the play. So we could go the distance in this one once again. I might just have a scenario where all of the quarterfinal matches may just go down the wire, travel down the route of penalty shooter. So more surprises, really, in this African Cup of Nations.
There's African football analyst Lekan Ige and the Spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonyi on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Meanwhile, Ghana on Thursday confirmed it had fired coach Milovan Rajevac after the squad's exit from the group stage of the African Cup of Nations. Some news outlets had reported a few days ago that Rajevac had been fired, but the club had not confirmed it. The Black Stars will look to hire a replacement before its two-leg World Cup playoffs against Nigeria in March. Ghana finished in last place in its group at the African Cup. Its 3-2 loss to tournament debutant Comoros was one of the biggest shocks in the competition's history. Rajevac was hired in September for a second spell in charge of the national team. The Serbian also led Ghana from 2008 to 2010, where he guided the team to the World Cup quarterfinals in 2010.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nessa, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with more Nations Cup news from Cameroon is Samson O'Malley. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Nations Cup greetings to you, Prince Nesta. Day 19 of the African Cup of Nations being hosted by Cameroon completed the roster for the quarterfinalists following the conclusion of the second round of matches. Wednesday's matches were both decided on penalties. Mohamed Salah scored the decisive penalty as Egypt beat the Ivory Coast in a shootout on Wednesday to advance to the African Cup of Nations quarterfinals. finals, smashed home his spot kick with the Ivory Coast Eric Bailly, the only player to miss in the shootout in Douala, which Egypt won 5-4 after the last 16 tie finished goalless at the end of extra time. Egypt, the record seven-time continental champions, go on to play Morocco in the last eight in Yaoundé on Sunday. Egypt's Mohamed Elneny was voted man of the match.
When my team went today and we qualified to next round, of course this show how hard I work every day to help my team, to help myself to improve every game, and of course especially against a big team today. And I'm happy, really happy to be a man of the match today.
Coach Carlos Queiroz's team booked their place in the quarterfinals despite having scored just twice in their four matches in Cameroon so far. But Queiroz insists the pressure on his team is their source of motivation.
Either the fans from Egypt and the fans from Ivory Coast, in general speaking, the fans of football, they should be very happy today because they saw a great football match with both teams trying to win the game. I think general speaking, taking consideration the number and the open opportunities that we have, I feel that we deserve to win the game even during the 120 minutes. As I said, for us the pressure, it's the source of our inspiration that gives us more strength to play for them, play for the people, and be sure that every time we finish one game, they are proud of us. So, yeah, always, you know, a lot of people talk about pressure, because they think the pressure can disturb. No way, it's the opposite. Without pressure, football doesn't exist. Simple like that.
The match between Ivory Coast and Egypt was their 11th African encounter, and still Egypt have lost just once to the Elephants. Among their many successes against the Ivory Coast was their victory on penalties in the 2006 final. Patrice Bimula, coach of Ivory Coast national football team, believes his side deserved to go through, but he congratulated Egypt on their win.
I think it was a tough game for the both team. So the two teams get some opportunities, but at the end of the day, we went through the extra time and the penalty shootout. After, you know, it's a part of luck. Congratulations to Egypt, but I think out of that, it was a very good game. The boys did well, a lot of efforts to try to contain the Pharaon and to push and to try to score. I have nothing to say, just tonight we are a bit sad. A lot. We deserve maybe to go through, but it's football, we have to be fair play. And congratulations to the Pharaon of Egypt.
The quarterfinal lineup was completed by Equatorial Guinea, who stunned Mali 6-5 on penalties after a drab 0-0 draw in the late game in Limbe. Santiago Eneme scored the decisive penalty before Malian Falaye Sanko had a kick served by Jesus Owono as his country bowed out in the first knockout stage for the second successive Cup of Nations. Equatorial Guinea attacking midfielder Pablo Ganet says Mali possibly underrated their West African neighbors.
We don't have a star, or a star is the team. And if they respect us, okay. If they didn't respect us, it's up to them. But today I think that we show what is our value. I think that we play with our hair, we push too much. And I think that maybe in the first half, I have to be honest, they play maybe better, more with the ball. But step by step, I think that we go ahead step by step, step by step. And after, I think that the extra time, we play it better even than them. And I think that they didn't expect that.
Away from the pitch now, after much speculation, the Confederation of African Football confirmed that the last two matches scheduled to be played in Douala, will be moved to the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé. The last quarterfinal on Sunday between Senegal and Equatorial Guinea and the first semifinal scheduled for February 2nd are the matches concerned. The decision to shift the other quarterfinal match away from the 60,000-seat Olympic Stadium was made official on Wednesday after Patrice Motsepe, CAF president, hosted a meeting with tournament organizers. The second semifinal to be played February 3rd and February 6th final are still scheduled at the Olympic Stadium for the time being. The decision to move matches from Douala, meanwhile, is a blow to the country's economic capital. The stadium, which was built for the tournament and cost a reported $230 million, will host its final game on Saturday when Cameroon play Gambia. The other quarterfinal between Tunisia and Burkina Faso will be played in the northern city of Garoua. Omar Akatuba is one of the international journalists covering the 2021 African Cup of Nations. He says the organization and arrangement at the tournament has been fair, but could have been better.
Generally, I think that Cameroon have struggled. We've seen what happened at the Olympic Stadium, where a stampede killed circa 8 people, and which also put a question on the level of security as far as the tournament is concerned, and of course, crowd management. I would say that it could have been better, but given the struggle that Cameroon went through to even get the world, to get everyone to back them to host the tournament, you want to cut them some slack. You know, the Olympic Stadium was hurriedly finished, you know, just before the tournament started. Some of the hotels that the teams are staying were newly built for the tournament. And you could also see touches of newly built buildings, like the Hotel Benoit, where Tunisia is currently staying. You could see that this hotel is not even yet completed. The Hotel Ribadeau, where the Super Eagles stayed before they were driven away by Tunisia, you know, you could also see that it was a brand new hotel. All these things were done purposely for the tournament. So, difficult, but they've done their best.
Thursdays and Fridays are rest days at the African Cup of Nations following the conclusion of the group matches. Action will resume on Sunday when the quarterfinals get underway.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I spoke with Kenyan sports journalist Nation Owano about the organization of the AFCON tournament, standout performances, and some of the quarterfinal matchups.
I'm personally impressed by the organization of the AFCON tournament. I mean, if you're looking at the duration when the AFCON tournament, it was being held at the backdrop of a lot of conversation. You remember the remarks by Jurgen Klopp just before the competition started, terming the competition as a little competition. So the organizers of the tournament did a good job in terms of ensuring that this tournament pulled through. One of the reasons why I also think that the organizers have done a good job is because if you look at the population of vaccinated people in Cameroon, it's about 2% of the population in Cameroon has been vaccinated. So just before the competition started, there was talks about the CAF president, that is Patrice Motsepe, being asked to postpone the tournament because we are at the height of the Omicron virus. But I think they've done a good job so far, apart from minor incidences here and there, majorly during the Tunisia versus Mali game, when Giannis Ikweze blew the whistle two times, that is on the 85th minute and the 89th minute, ending the game prematurely, and the unfortunate incident a few days ago where there was a stampede at one of the stadiums where the Cameroon team was playing. So I think the organizers of this year's tournament have done an impeccable job amidst all the challenges that were presented to them.
There have been a couple of performances, you know, some could be standout performances, some could be disappointing performances. What are some of those standout performances according to your opinion? And, you know, you can also tie that into some of the disappointing performances.
I don't know whether this will be the first time that we'll be talking about outstanding performances from teams that are either making their debuts into the tournament or not. But I think the teams that have really stood out for me and have done an incredible job are Sierra Leone, Gambia, Comoros, and Malawi. Just a bit of history about those teams that I've mentioned. For example, Sierra Leone. The last time Sierra Leone was in the AFCON tournament was 25 years ago. And then them coming into the tournament this year and causing an upset, literally frustrating the Algerian team who are the defending champions of the AFCON competition. The other team that has stood out for me was Gambia, who are actually debutants in this year's tournament. If you look at their performances in the group stages, they drew two games and then they won one, and they haven't lost a single game in the group stages of the tournament. Comoros, who are debutants in the tournament, have also done an incredible job. Here in Kenya, the conversation has been that Kenya should have been at the AFCON tournament, but they were not at the AFCON tournament this year at the expense of Comoros, because Comoros managed to beat the Harambee Stars, which is the national team over here. So I think the other team is Malawi. Malawi, the last time probably was at the AFCON tournament was in 1984. So for these teams to go all the way into the round of 16 and Gambia actually making it into the quarterfinals of the tournament, I think they've really done a good job. And I think tying that to some of the performances of some of the individual players, there are players who I think have stood out in this tournament. I mean, I'll start first of all with Chaka Alhadur, who's a left back for the Comoros national team. Remember, just before Comoros went to play their game against Cameroon, their camp was presented with a lot of challenges. Their goalkeeper was out because of an injury, and their reserve goalkeepers were out and tested positive for COVID-19. So Chaka was tasked with the responsibility of going to the goal line and being the goalkeeper. And he did an incredible job being an outfield player, you know, saving two brilliant strike balls that probably could have costed the Comoros team. So I think that is one of the players that stood out for me. The other player that I think has stood out for me is Mohamed Camara. Mohamed Camara is the goalkeeper for the Sierra Leone national team. And I think the reason why I'm talking about him is how he was able to keep the Algerian national team at bay. Going into this tournament, not many people knew about Mohamed Camara. But after that particular game against Algeria, everybody was now talking about him. The other three players who I think have stood out in this tournament are Vincent Abubakar, from Cameroon, who is currently the top scorer in the AFCON tournament. The other one is Gabadinho Mahango, who plays for the Orlando Pirates, has scored three goals in this tournament. And the last one is Musa Baro, who's from the Gambia team and plays for Bologna. So I think those are the players that have stood out for me in this particular AFCON tournament.
You've mentioned some of those players who stood out for you. You know, what about the disappointing ones? And in this particular sense, you know, you could also talk about some of the English Premier League players who actually you thought would perform well in this tournament, but so far they're just like other local African players, and even African local players are just playing better than them. Who are some of these players that, you know, you could point out that they have been quite disappointing as far as their performances are concerned?
Thomas Partey, remember the Ghana national team, that is the Black Stars, where Thomas Partey plays, were knocked out of the group stages of the tournament. I think one of the biggest names that people are talking about in the AFCON tournament in terms of not standing out is Sadio Mane. I mean, he has scored goals in this tournament, but if you look at the goals that he scored, he's only scored two goals, and those two goals are courtesy of a penalty. So I think we expected much more from Sadio Mane, not only waiting for penalty kicks to get his goals in this tournament.
If you look at some of the matchups that are shaping up as far as the quarterfinals are concerned, what do you make of them?
Interesting. I'll probably start with the first leg of the quarterfinals, that is Gambia versus Cameroon. I think going into this particular game, Cameroon on paper are the favorites of this particular matchup. But I think they need to be wary of the Gambia national team. I mean, the team has shown us that they are able and they are willing to do anything to get into the finals of this tournament. So they are fighting with their own lives. So I think Cameroon are favorites in this game, but we can't underestimate the likes of Moussa Baro from the Gambia national team. They've started from the group stages. They've done a good job at the group stages, a round of 16, and now they are into the quarterfinals. So the Cameroon national team need to watch out against Gambia. The other game, Burkina Faso versus Tunisia. In terms of how I look at the performance of these two teams, for some reason, Tunisia is just one of those teams that people never give a lot of attention. But they always have their way of slithering their way into the latter stages of the competition. So I think going into this game, Burkina Faso is a good team, but I think Tunisia have an upper hand in this particular game. The Egypt versus Morocco, which is a quite interesting fixture. This is not going to be the first time that they'll be playing against each other. They know each other. They understand each other. They play together a lot in North African football competition. So I think my stake will be in the Morocco squad going into this. The reason why I'm saying this is because I think Egypt is going into this particular game putting a lot of responsibility on Mohamed Salah. It is a good thing, but then it has its own downsides because it's a football match. It's 90 minutes at play with 120 minutes of extra time. So anything can happen in this particular game, even in the first minute. So I think Morocco look more composed. So going into this particular game, I think Morocco have an upper hand. The other game, Senegal versus Equatorial Guinea, for some reason, my bet has been for the Minions, as we call them, in the tournament. These are teams that nobody expected to get this far, but they are here. So I'll put my bet on Equatorial Guinea. I mean, Senegal have a good squad being led by a former player that is in Cisse, but I think they have a lot of work to do as they are going to face Equatorial Guinea.
That's Kenyan sports journalist Nation Owano. Andy spoke with me from Nairobi, Kenya, regarding the state of affairs in the African Cup of Nations tournament. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more details on sports activities taking place around the world. The address once again is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You can also follow all the AFCON action on Twitter. Our address is at VOA Sunny Sports. Craig Gabriel joins us now with the latest from the Australian Open.
It will be meeting five when Ash Barty, the world number one, plays Danielle Collins in the final of the Australian Open, and for both women, it's first. Barty in her first Australian Open final, and not only that, she's the first Aussie woman to reach the final since 1980. That year, it was the great Wendy Turnbull. For Collins, reaching the final marks her very first time being in the final of a major. The American says she's playing with a freedom that she never used to have. She's very open about the fact that last April, she had surgery for endometriosis and 7 weeks later played the French Open and has been pain-free since. To get to the final, Barty accounted for Madison Keys 6-1, 6-3 in 62 minutes.
Saturday is going to be a new experience for me, so I go out there and embrace it, smile, try and do the best that I can, and whatever happens because it's been an incredible January and incredible summer for us, and I'm really looking forward to having one last crack here to really go out there and enjoy it.
Collins meanwhile disposed of Iga Swiatek 6-4, 6-1, and when the match was over she almost felt a level of disbelief. The tournament will host the first All-Australian men's doubles final since 1980. Nick Kyrgios and Thanasi Kokkinakis will be facing Matt Ebden and Mats Purcell. Day 12 and it's men's semis day. In the afternoon session will be Rafa Nadal against Matteo Berrettini. The record is 1-0 to Nadal. And at night it'll be Daniil Medvedev against Stefanos Tsitsipas. Head-to-head is 6-2 to Medvedev. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. And that wraps up the January 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbili Abaru, and thank you for tuning in. Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.